More like you, O Jesus. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Such is the way of the Lord that when we seek, we find. We are a congregation that trusts in the promises of our God, and week by week we gather for a time of prayer, lifting the concerns and joys of our hearts and of those in our lives. And I invite you at this time to share, what are you asking for prayer for from God these days? What are you lifting to prayer this morning? Judy.
Walter's having another treatment this week, unless he decides not to. Esther and I had birthdays last week. Her number is better than mine. I still can't believe mine.
Happy birthday, Judy and Esther, and we're praying for Walter with his treatment. Suzanne.
I just want to say, for those who weren't here last week, we had a wonderful service. And my guys, the second string, who are really first stringers, gave us a challenge. And that challenge was to pray for our enemies. And I just want to confess that it's not very easy to pray for your enemies. I've been trying.
Amen. Thank you for that, Suzanne. Hi, Dorothea.
I have a joy. On January 4th, my great-nephew, Benjamin John Campling, was born. They live in Pennsylvania, so I'll probably get to see him this summer, but I'm just thrilled to have a great-nephew. And my birthday was yesterday, and his sister's birthday, Grace, who's just turning 3, is today. So January is in.
Thanks, Jackie. All kinds of joy, especially for baby Benjamin being born. Happy birthday. Kathy. Oh, you too? Oh, my gosh. Kathy.
We are glad and happy to introduce some new friends that we just met today. This is Luba and this is Benjamin. And they are originally, Luba is from Ukraine and Benjamin is from Iran. And they came to the United States as refugees from Ukraine 4 months ago. So we'd love to have you introduce yourselves to them and help them to feel welcome. So we're really glad you're here.
Welcome, Luba and Benjamin. Gladys.
Yeah. I have a joy as I've been praying, we've been praying for my colleague at work, Rhonda, with cancer. I'm happy to say she's back to work. She started last week, last Monday, so that's praise to God. And I'm asking for prayers for Andrew as he travels again. He's in France on a student exchange program. He's going to be studying there for 2.5 months. So prayers for him, and also continue prayers for baby Bernard, for his breathing.
Thanks, Gladys. For Rhonda, for Bernard, and for Andrew as he travels. Other prayers today. Come this way, Jerison.
I'm thankful to God because yesterday was my and Sandra's anniversary. I thank God for having this beautiful woman with me for 28 years.
Congratulations, you guys. Some of the prayer back here. Is it Rob?
Hi there. My name is Rob King. This is my first time here. Last time I was in a Presbyterian church, it was about 45 years ago with my mom and dad, who are not with me now. Maybe so. I've been talking with Chris online about the elevator. I go to 12-step meetings downstairs for the last 3 years, and I wanted to come upstairs. So here I am. Real fast, my partner Mark is at home with a cold. He was going to come with me. I was going to make him come, but he's sick, so he didn't have to take the church bus. His mom, who is in early stage Alzheimer's, is also at home. Hopefully she'll come with us as well. I've just been diagnosed with some kind of tumor on my pituitary gland, so we're trying to figure out what's going on with that, and got something going on with my aorta, and a whole passel of fun stuff like that. I got my sunglasses on because I forgot my other glasses in the car. So I'm just glad to be here. Thanks.
Amen. Rob, you're so welcome today, and we're praying for the 49ers, yes. Praying for your health concerns, and also for Mark and for his mother. Thanks. Jenny.
It's a joy to be back. I was in Western Pennsylvania for a few weeks, and it was nice to have a visit there for the holidays. My sister's church just voted to leave the presbytery, and they're sort of struggling to figure out what to do, and so just prayers for them, but also just prayers for our presbytery as we're having conversations. The next presbytery meeting next month, we'll be having conversations for churches that are thinking about leaving and trying to have productive conversations so that we can find ways to find compromises for our presbytery and the Presbyterian Church USA across the country.
Thanks, Jenny. Praying, what's the name of your sister's church? Praying for Leesburg Presbyterian Church and for our connectional sisters and brothers who are having some hard conversations. Pass this down to Phil.
Prayers for my sister-in-law's brother, who's in his 20s. He was just admitted to the intensive care unit in California with overwhelming infection. And he's on full life support at this point, so just prayers for him and his family. His name is Peter.
Thanks. Prayer for Peter. Hi, Joe.
I have a joy this morning. My friend Christina and her husband Philip are visiting from LA, and they were keeping me company while Lynn was in Chicago, so safe travels for them this afternoon back to LA and Lynn as he returns from Chicago. And also I wanted to lift up a guy named Will Streeter who goes to the church we attended when we lived in Indiana. He was diagnosed with cancer, I think, 2 years ago and lost an eye from it. And recently it has come back and they're giving him now less than 6 months. So Will and his wife Kathy, and they have two young teenage boys. So just appreciate your prayers for them.
Definitely praying for Will today. Is it Stephanie and Luke? Christina and Luke? Philip. I didn't get any of it right. Good thing there's grace for us. Okay, we're praying for you guys. Welcome. Jill.
My cousin Leighton asks for prayers. He's been tested for lymphoma, and he should be getting results this coming week.
Prayers for Leighton. Okay.
I have two prayers. One, my friend Allie's mom, who is dealing with a relapse in cancer and had emergency brain surgery that she's recovering from. And for my friend Tim, who is not much older than I am, and he got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. They have a little boy.
Heavy prayers for Allie's mom and for Tim. Thanks. Other prayers. Did you have a prayer? No? Okay. Sharon.
Just to jump on this birthday joy bandwagon, even though they'll be mortified that I'm going to tell you this, Daniel and Christopher turn 14 on Friday.
Dan and Chris, happy birthday in the limelight. Milton.
One of my friends from work, she just found out that her mom has ovarian cancer. The bigger issue is that her mom probably has known this for the past year and is in a mental state where she doesn't feel like she wants to seek care. So I'm just hoping for prayers for her mom. just Ashley's mom.
Ashley's mom, okay. What prayers? Oh. Okay. Come back to Megan here.
So prayers for my sister Sarah, who is 39 weeks pregnant today and expecting their first child anytime. And if she has the baby this week, next week, we're going to be praying for her husband, who has no idea what's about to hit him.
Prayers for Sarah and the expectation of this new birth. I saw Beatrice.
Praise the Lord. I tell God, thank you for the Esther. God gave him one more year added to a year. I want God to bless him, give him more year, more year. And I tell God, thank you for my baby. But he gave me my son another year added to my year. I tell the church member, the choir, the pastor, I tell everybody, thank you for your prayer, for your support. God is good. I tell my father, thank you. Because through a grace, I see it that here today. Doctor, I don't know what's wrong with me. But I tell my father, their body belongs to you. You know where wrong in this body. But I want you to touch me now. And then don't. So I tell him, thank you for all my sisters, my cousins, children, where they all of them be with us day and day. I tell everybody, thank you. I tell God, thank you for my pastor. They go to holiday. God bring them back safely. I tell you, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praying for Beatrice and her family, the blessing of Esther, and a birthday celebration on Christmas Day. That was a lot of fun. Other prayers today. Alice.
Just a reminder to pray for public schools in Rhode Island, and also for all those involved in choosing a new superintendent in Providence for wisdom for them.
Praying for our public schools in Providence, for our teachers, and for the people making decisions about superintendent. Suzanne, you had another.
Prayers for my childhood friend Tom, who's suffering from severe alcoholism and hopefully will go to rehab.
Prayers for Tom. Thanks.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have gifted us with this new year, filled with hopes, possibilities, and unknowns, but never beyond your care and love. We give thanks this day for the gift of your creation, for the promise of new life in you, for the hope, joy, peace, and love which you desire for all your people. We pray for our world, seeking peace and justice, where all may grow into the promise of your creation. We pray for countries and peoples seeking peace and for those who would be peacemakers. We pray in our community for our schools, for the superintendent search, the swirling of teachers' lives in this return back to school, and for each of our schools in this Providence area. We give thanks, O God, for safe travel and returns from times with families and friends in the spirit of this season, in the spirit of birthdays of so many in January. We give thanks for Esther and Beatrice, for Judy and Grace, for Jackie, for the birth of Benjamin, for Dan and Chris. We give thanks, O God, that we can be a people who celebrate the joys of one another. We pray, O Lord, for these new friends that we have met this day, for Rob and Lupa and Benjamin, for their presence with us this morning, for Andrew Benson in his travels, for Christina and Philip, and for Lynn's travels. We pray, O Lord, this day for so many who are ill in body, mind, or spirit, and those who are seeking strength for the journey and decisions ahead for their lives, for Terry and Nicholas, for Ash's mom, for Marcus and Allie's mom, for Tim, for Andrew in minor surgery on Thursday, for Walter, for Rhonda, for Bernard, for Mark's mother and Rob, for Tom, Peter, Will, and Kathy, and Layton. All these folks are known to you, O God, and known to some of us, but all of us may raise them in prayer to you. For those who are in our midst today for the first time seeking the community of your church from countries and states far and wide, experiences of life and circumstance, may we always be a welcoming presence in prayers spoken and unspoken. We pray for those who are in the midst of transition in their lives, for new opportunities and for those seeking them, for the unfolding of Sarah's pregnancy, for our Presbytery and wider church, for the Leesburg Presbyterian Church. We pray, O Lord, this day for energy to follow where you alone would lead us, in our lives as individuals, in families, and in our community together, and to the ends of the earth, even in those times where it is difficult to follow your challenge to love our enemies. As we gather again this day at your table, may we be made one in your spirit. Lead us to hold fast to what we have attained, ever grounded in your light-giving presence. In the power of the Word made flesh, in the Spirit of Christ, we pray as he taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Children are released at this time to their classrooms downstairs through fifth grade. The middle school class will meet upstairs in the couches room, and the family room is available if you have a young child on a hip who needs to move around. Quite an exodus. Our Old Testament reading this morning comes to us from the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the first 13 verses. The Lord said to Samuel, How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Now fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king from among his sons. Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Our New Testament passage today is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 16. "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have obtained." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand and sing our middle hymn, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." It's in your small blue hymnal, number 2088, led by the worship band.
Thank you.
Good morning. It is great to be back with you again this week after some time away with my family in California. I hope that you also have had a chance to rest up a little bit after the busyness of the holiday season. Here we are in the second Sunday of the new year, and we are beginning today a brand new sermon series. We're calling it Crossing the Threshold. We are crossing the threshold this month in January as we say goodbye to the year that has finished and as we enter into a whole new year. You remember that a threshold is literally a board or a plank that is put underneath a door in a doorway. It is part of what forms a boundary between in and out. A threshold is a kind of place that is between two experiences, inside and outside. And we are moving in this month from one kind of experience, last year, into a whole new one, what is still ahead. I've been thinking about this idea of crossing a threshold as I've watched our young daughter Abigail learn to walk in these past few months. You know, when she first started, you couldn't quite call it walking. It was more like falling forward while moving. But eventually, she got more steady on her feet, and she started toddling around the house, exploring all the different rooms. And as she was learning, Abigail would go at full toddler speed toward from one room into the next. And every time, as she crossed the threshold, as she went from one room to the next, she would trip and fall, because there's that little bump in the road. And then she would say her favorite word, uh-oh. Uh-oh. And she would pick herself up and keep moving. That little bump would slow her down. It would trip her up. And what she needed to learn was that as she crossed the threshold, as she went from one room to the next, she needed to pause. She needed to take care as she went from one thing into something new. And this is an image for us I want to suggest this morning about the kind of time and space that we find ourselves in here in January. Here in this month, we are crossing a threshold. And as we do, we too need to pause, to slow down, and to move quite carefully as we navigate our way from one kind of experience into something new. And that's what we're going to be doing in these weeks ahead. In the four Sundays that are remaining in this month, we will explore four different thresholds that God is calling us to cross. And today we begin with the first one, which is crossing the threshold from the past into the future. We're called to cross over from the past into the future, moving from 2011 with all of its joys and pains into 2012 and all that God has in store for us. So as we begin today, let's pray. O God of this year and of every year, of this day and all the days gone by, Lord, you hold our days in your hands. You hold our future. We pray to you today that you would open your word to us. Give us ears to hear, and Lord, give me words to speak. All these things in Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. So we are talking today about crossing a threshold in our lives, and I want to suggest to you that we need to cross over the threshold from past into future in two important ways. These are two compelling reasons for taking the time to carefully move from one phase of life into the next. And the first reason is that when we cross over from the past, we have an opportunity to leave behind the disappointments, the things that didn't go right, and even the bad decisions that we've made. There are parts of each of our lives this past year that did not go according to plan, things that did not turn out the way we had hoped. And sometimes it's hard to let go of those things, isn't it? We can dwell on them. We can allow the past to have a power over us that does not allow us to move faithfully forward into the future. We can find ourselves stuck. And this was the situation in the Old Testament passage that we read together today. It begins with God asking Samuel this question: how long will you mourn for Saul? Saul, you remember, was the first king of Israel. And the people had been clamoring and begging God, give us a leader, give us a king like all the other nations have. And they had been bothering Samuel, who was one of their main leaders. He was a kind of elder statesman for Israel. And bothering and begging him, and finally he brought these complaints to the Lord. and God relented and allowed Samuel to anoint Saul as king. But from the very start, something wasn't right. When the people called on Saul to be recognized as king, they couldn't find him. This takes place a chapter or two before what we read today. He had hidden himself under a pile of luggage, and they had to pull him out from underneath these suitcases and say, "Look, Saul, you're the king now, okay?" It was his big day, but he shrank back from that responsibility. Later, Saul took on a pattern of disobeying God in a number of different ways, and finally God had had enough and rejected him as king. This was a hard decision, but it was something that had to be done because it was so clear that this was a failed kingship. A failed kingship. And Samuel takes this failure personally. After all, he was the one who had asked God to make Saul the king. He was the one who had anointed Saul with oil and presented him before the people as their new leader. Samuel looked back at everything that had happened and the part that he had played in it. And he grieved, and he mourned the things that had gone so badly. He sat with this failure. He relived it over and over again, beating himself up about this great disappointment in his life. I wonder, as you think back over these past months or maybe years, if you have ever felt this way, held captive by your past mistakes, stuck thinking about things you did before, but that now you can't really change. Deliberating on disappointments in how you've acted or how someone else has acted toward you. Well, God comes along and says to Samuel, and says to me, and says to you, "How long will you mourn? How long will you look back at those falterings and failings from your past? How long will you be held captive by the power of what might have been and refuse to claim your part in what is still to come?" God calls on us not to remain stuck in the mess-ups and missteps of the past, but instead to cross the threshold and to move from a past we cannot change and step with faith into the future that God is revealing to us. If troubles from your past, maybe from this week or from this year, or what keeps you from moving ahead with God into the future that God intends for you, then hear this good news today. This is a word of grace for your life from God. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. The new life has begun. Cross the threshold and begin to live this new life today as you receive again God's grace and forgiveness for you. So a troubling past is part of what keeps us from crossing over to where God would have us to go. But for others of us, it's actually just the opposite. It isn't the past that's so bad. In fact, for many of us, the past seems to be quite good. Is that your experience, I wonder? Sometimes we have this idea in our minds of a time, a memory of life from long ago that was much more golden and glittery and good than our own times. What keeps us from moving into God's future then is not a past that is so bad, but a past that is overly good. It's idealized. It's an idol held up in our minds as the best that life can be. I watched a movie recently that really develops this idea nicely. It's called Midnight in Paris. Here's a movie poster just so you can get an idea. Have any of you seen this movie? All right, well, spoiler alert for the rest of you. I'm going to tell you the story. It's about Gil, and you see him there walking in Paris. He's a young Hollywood screenwriter who's visiting the city that he loves, Paris. And the thing about Gil is that he doesn't really love Paris right now. He is obsessed with Paris as he thinks of it in the 1920s. A gilded age, a golden age, a time when artists and writers flocked to the city, and he thinks of it as the best possible time to live. In fact, Gil is paralyzed in his own life, personally and professionally, because he can't get over this pervasive sense that the good old days were the 1920s, and that all the best times our past. By the power of movie magic, Gil is transported back in time in the movie to Paris in the 20s. He gets to sort of live his dream, and he meets all of his literary idols: Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Gertrude Stein, and some more. And one of the people he meets is a young French woman named Adriana, who he begins to have romantic feelings for. And one night, as they walk along in the 1920s in Paris, Gil and Adriana are transported even further back in time, to the 1880s in Paris. This is a strange twist, and it turns out that for Adriana, the 1880s, la belle époque, the beautiful era, is considered the best time to live. And Gil is appalled. How could she think that? The 1920s were the best. But then, while they're there in the 1880s, they meet even more people who think back to the Renaissance and say that was the best time to be alive. Each of these people, you see, is trapped in this notion that the past was somehow more glorious and golden and good than the present. The best times are gone by, they are not ahead. Adriana is so stuck in this idea, in fact, that she tells Gil, "Go on without me." Gil returns to the 1920s and eventually to the modern era, leaving Adriana in her dream world. She stays in the 1880s. By the end of the movie, Gil comes to realize that there is possibility and greatness even in our own times, and not just in an idealized past. Well, this is kind of an exaggerated way to make the point that God calls us out of our past, whether it was good or bad, whether it was terrible or terrific, and God directs us into our future. Here at the beginning of the new year, we are asked to cross this threshold and to take steps ahead into a future that only God can know. And here's the exciting part about it. As we follow God into the future, surprising things can happen. Look back at our Old Testament story for a minute and you'll see what I mean. God calls Samuel out of grieving for Saul, out of that fixation and focus on his past, and he tells him, go. Go and visit Jesse, who lives in a town called Bethlehem. Go and find the future king of Israel. So Samuel goes, and he ends up anointing Jesse's youngest son, David, as the new king of Israel. But the story ends there in this passage of Scripture, but it continues on, because David's line, King David's line, goes down through the generations, all the way down to a man named Joseph, who was of the house and line of David, who was engaged to be married to a woman named Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. You see, the future that God has for us is activated, even in surprising ways, as we cross the threshold from past into future. Samuel had to give up that past in order to follow God into the future. What God brought to us in Jesus could not have been foreseen even then, but it developed through Samuel's faithfulness to that call. I wonder what the future looks like for each one of us. I wonder what new thing God has in store for your life in this year ahead. Maybe a new relationship or opportunity, a new area of learning or joy and experience, or an opportunity for service that is waiting for you and for me, if only we will follow God's call and cross the threshold from the past into God's future. You know, it's interesting to think about this subject of past and future here on a Communion Sunday. Because set before us here is this memorial meal. In communion, we think back on this last meal that Jesus spent with his disciples. And it was a meal that had good and bad parts to it. Good, of course, because Jesus was there. He was sharing food and drink, fellowship and conversation with his disciples. Very good. But it was also bad, because we know what happens next. Out of this meal, Jesus is betrayed, arrested, beaten, crucified, dead, and buried. So we remember this past here at the table. It's both good and bad. But we believe that as we break this bread and share this cup, that we aren't just in the past, but instead that we can experience Jesus' real presence with us here in the present, right here and now, even today. God feeds us spiritually and nurtures us so that we can not go back in time, nor so that we can stay right here, but so that we can go out, so that we can walk through the front door of the church, so that we can cross the threshold out into our lives, into all that is waiting for us this day, and this week, and this year. I invite you, as you come forward today to this communion meal, to look back at a past that is both good and bad, and also to look forward into the future that God is beginning to reveal in us, through us, and for us this day. Join me in crossing the threshold with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, it was when Jesus, who was the risen Lord, was with his friends that he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This table is set before us not as a Presbyterian table, nor just for members of this particular congregation, but for all who put their trust in Jesus and who seek to follow faithfully into the future that God has for each of us. Come, for you are invited to the table today.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Spirit upon these, your gifts, that the bread we break and the cup we share might be a blessing to you, that as we come together over this threshold, we might be renewed in your Spirit by the power of this sacrament, that we might be renewed in this new year to step forward in faith where you alone would call us. Bless now these common elements to the sacred use that you have designed for them as we gather around this table, as we come forth to share this blessing. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Hear the words of institution of the Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim our Lord until he shall come again."
We will take communion today by the ancient practice of intinction, which means you will come forward as we sing together a hymn which will be projected. Take the piece of bread, dip it in the cup, eat it, and return to your seat. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come.
Blessing, Monica.
Let us pray. Help us, O Lord, in our weakness. We who are not good, we who are not enough, we who are not strong, we who lack faith, we who live in fear, we who let the past dominate our lives. O Lord, by your grace, call us forth from all that we have been, the places we have wandered. Call us again into your presence, into your spirit, into your love. We give you thanks, O Lord, that at this table you have led us and fed us, that you have filled us again with the good things of your promise. O God, we pray this day that emboldened by this meal, we may cross the threshold again, out into the lives that we have to lead, out into the future you have prepared. Bless and keep each of us, O Lord. Send us with your blessing this day, we pray. In Christ our Savior, amen.
We are a people who have been richly blessed through the grace of God. Let us come offering our gifts to God.
Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right spirit within me. Amen.
Praise God on which you stand.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as we cross this threshold into this, your new year, we pray your blessing upon these gifts, upon the gifts of our hands and of our lives as we seek to follow where you would lead us. We give thanks for the offerings of this community, that they might show forth your love, your hope, your grace into a hurting world. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Had our horns filled with oil, we now set out for something new God is calling us into. Go, therefore, into the world in peace, and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil, but support the weak. Help the afflicted, honor all persons, love, and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.